resting on the surface of a gigantic blister. A little wildness would not be out of place at all. The skulls were easy. She had found a fine, broad one with powerful jaws and soulful eye sockets. She could have had dozens, but she could only use one. It hurt her in a way that she had not expected. The joy of finding one was crushed easily under the sorrow of so many that would go unused. I could sit here for the rest of my life with my hands full of wire, building dogs out of bone. And then the crows will eat me and I will fall into the pit. And we shall all be bones together. A sob caught in her throat and she had to stop. She fumbled in her pack for her water skin and took a sip. The bone dog was half completed. She had the skull and the beautiful sweep of vertebrae, two legs and the long, elegant ribs. There would be at least a dozen dogs in this one, truly. But the skull was the important thing. Mara caressed the hollow orbits, delicately winged in wire. Everyone said that the heart was where the soul lived, but she no longer believed it. She was building from the skull downward. She had discarded several bones already because they did not seem to fit with the skull. The long, impossibly fine ankles of gaze hounds would not serve to carry her skull forward. She needed something stronger and more solid. Boar hounds or elk hounds, something with weight. There was a jump rope rhyme about a bone dog, wasn't there? Where had she heard it? Not in the palace, certainly. Princesses did not jump rope. It must have been later, in the village near the convent. How did it go? Bone dog, stone dog. The crows called a warning. She looked up. The crows yammered in the trees to her left. Something was coming, blundering through the trees. She pulled the hood of her cloak up over her head and slid partway down into the pit, cradling the dog skeleton to her chest. Her cloak was made of owl cloth tatters and spun nettle cord. The magic was imperfect, but it was the best she had been able to make in the time that she had been given. From dawn to dusk and back again, with an awl made of thorns. Yes, I'd like to see anyone do better. Even the dust wife said that I had done well, and she hands out praise like water in a dry land. The cloak of tatters left long gaps bare. But she had found that this did not matter. It broke up her outline so that people looked through her. If they found some of the bands of light and shadow lay a little strangely, they never stayed long enough to puzzle out why. People were remarkably willing to dismiss their own sight. Mara thought perhaps that the world was so strange and vision so flawed that you soon realized that anything and everything could be a trick of the light. The man came out of the trees. She heard him muttering, but could not make out the words. She only knew it was a man because his voice was so deep, and even that was guesswork. Most of the people of the blistered land were harmless. They had eaten the wrong flesh and had been punished for it. Some saw things that were not there. Some of them could not walk, and their fellows helped them. Two had shared a fire with her some nights ago, although she was careful not to eat their food, even though they offered. It was a cruel spirit that would punish starving people for what they had been forced to eat, but the spirits had never pretended to be kind. Her companions at the fire had warned her, though.
"Be careful," said one. "Be quick, quick, quiet. There's a few to watch for. They were bad before, and they're worse now." "Bad," said the second one. His breathing was very labored, and he had to stop between each word. She could tell that it frustrated him, trying to speak between the pauses.
"Not right. All of us now."
He shook his head ruefully.
"But them. Angry."
"It doesn't do any good to be angry," said the first one. "But they won't listen. Ate too much. Got to like the taste."